This podcast is sponsored by the Association of the British Pharmaceutical Industry. We work so that diseases like haemophilia B don't control people's lives. We work to achieve a brighter tomorrow.
Welcome to Coffee House Shots, Spectator's daily politics podcast. Is Jeremy Hunt now running for the leadership of the Conservative Party? He was on Andrew Marr's sofa at the weekend saying that Airbus ought to keep quiet about its plans to pull out of Britain if a Brexit deal went the wrong way. An odd point for a Remainer to make. So does he now have his eyes on the big prize? I'm Fraser Nelson and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls to discuss. So Katie, what are we to make of this new intervention from the Health Secretary?
Yeah, well, I'm always quite suspicious of someone who publicly praises Theresa May a lot. Because do they protest too much? And I thought it was a very interesting moment on the Marr show. There were two things that were quite curious about this interview. The first was Jeremy Hunt, former Remainer, said that the warning from Airbus was an inappropriate threat.
Undermined the Prime Minister and then...
Exactly, which felt slightly Trumpian almost in a way to kind of bold. I mean, Airbus said this before the EU referendum, they're saying it now. But I think is their right if they want to criticise the government's approach? I mean, businesses can say what they want, it's whether or not the people agree with that. The people knew about this. But the second thing was when he was defending Theresa May, he praised her for having the pragmatism of a Remainer, but the adventurous spirit of a Brexiteer, and that she was converted to the cause. And you did think, who else could he be describing there? Maybe himself.
So James, I don't know if you're picking this up, but I'm noticing more and more that conversations of ministers turn towards the leadership. How do we think people are positioned? Who is the front runner? Of course, people are jostling not to be the front runner now because in the Tory system, the front runner normally gets taken out. Luckily for most of the cabinet, the front runner is Jacob Rees-Mogg. But can we see Hunt? Would you say that he's interested and is going for the job?
Well, first of all, I don't think Jacob Rees-Mogg is the real front runner for the simple reason that I can't see how he gets 106 Tory MPs to back him, which is what you need to get into the final round where the members pick between two candidates.
But he's the bookies' favourite right now.
I think this is proof that these betting markets are very small. I am reminded of the famous story of the Lib Dem leadership contest where it was alleged that supporters of Chris Huhne used to bet on him to make sure that he was the favourite against Nick Clegg, so the press all had to write up that Chris Huhne was the favourite. Now, if Theresa May goes shortly after March 30th next year, I think the kind of three current favourites within the cabinet are Sajid Javid, Jeremy Hunt and Michael Gove. I think one of Jeremy Hunt's great advantages is he doesn't have any enemies. Almost everyone else running for the Tory leadership, you can think of someone who would be prepared to go onto College Green and do a kind of Ann Widdecombe in an attempt to stop them getting the job. I can't see who would do that to Jeremy Hunt. So that is one of his great advantages. But there is an intriguing question, as Katie said, which is how does he position himself on Brexit? One of the things that's going to make the Cabinet's away day at Chequers to discuss Brexit so fascinating is we don't really know where Jeremy Hunt sits on the Cabinet divide because he isn't in the Brexit in a Cabinet. So how strongly does he come out to argue for a position at Chequers on Brexit is going to be absolutely fascinating and a big tell as to where he is going. I also think Jeremy Hunt has got very lucky because he's only won half of his battle on the NHS, which is he wanted an NHS tax to pay for it. Now, if he had won that, I think that would have really hurt his leadership ambitions, because while as most Tory members want more money for the NHS, they don't actually want to pay more tax to pay for it. But because he's only got the money and the tax we won't find out how they're going to pay for it until October, that actually helps Jeremy Hunt, I think, because he's not personally associated with a tax increase. Mm-hmm.
Now, Katie, James mentioned two other runners there, Sajid Javid and Michael Gove. Some listeners might be surprised to hear Michael Gove mentioned here because he is regarded to have toxified himself after doing the dirty on Boris. But then again, he still managed to get something like 50-odd votes from Tory MPs. That was while his knife was still dripping with Boris's blood. So I'm wondering if Michael Gove might be more likely to get into the final two than Jeremy Hunt.
Yeah, I think Michael Gove could surprise. I think if you look at the Brexiteer candidates, Boris Johnson is more divisive within the parliamentary party than Michael Gove is. He is probably seen as a more acceptable of the Brexiteers, which does seem like a real change of events since that vicious Tory leadership contest. But then again, Gove has been hugging a lot of huskies since then, reintroducing beavers into the wild. And I think that green conservative approach has definitely made him seem more cuddly. I think lots of the people who had doubts about Gove as being someone who could be prime minister still have those doubts. What's interesting though is we had all these think tanks launch and lots of people seen them more as leadership vehicles. Mm-hmm. And Onward is the one that probably had the most press, and that saw him team up with Ruth Davidson. I do think the Scottish Conservative MPs, and in fact one even let this slip a few weeks ago at a members event, they now see Gove as the most acceptable option, whether to be a leadership contest tomorrow and Ruth Davidson still busy.
So James, you would have a sort of Michael Gove the Brexiteer plus a Remainer by his side. Now that might be Ruth Davidson. She's got a certain lot of authority within the party generally. But in Westminster, would he need one of his Remain allies, like, for example, Nicky Morgan, to rally the troops? Yeah, I mean, she's quite loyal to him, but would she have the ability to rally Remainers around Gove's cause?
I think those people who like the idea of Michael Gove as leader, what they would argue for is, look how everywhere he's gone, every department he's been in government, he's made things happen, and that's what's needed. You know, the government is stalled not only on Brexit, but on a domestic agenda too, they argue. The interesting question is that there is this thought kicked around by fans of Michael Gove, which is, could you find some way to say that he would do the job for 2 years to address the kind of electability issues that Katie was talking about, and then stand down? So essentially, he would take over as a kind of make something happen, lead the Prime Minister for 2 years while having a kind of cabinet of all the talents. And then at the end of the 2 years, the Tories could pick someone designed with purely with electability in mind, because Gove had given the government and the party an agenda, etc., etc., etc. There is obviously one massive problem with this, which is if the Tory party decides to have 3 prime ministers within a parliament, the electorate might feel that they weren't really being consulted on what was going on, and that this prize was being handed around, you know, in a way that they found distasteful, and they might well be punished at the ballot box for that. I think there is an intriguing question though about these 3, Javid, Hunt and Gove, which is, I think if you could perm 2 from those 3 in some kind of combination, I think that whoever had 2 of those 3 would be very difficult to stop. But I mean, the problem is all 3 of them would like the top job.
Yeah. I also spot a slight other problem with something James just said, which is what an MP said to me when discussing this Gove idea, which is, would he actually resign after 2 years? I mean, this is a highly ambitious man. I think Ken Clark said, what, Gove would invade how many countries were he to be successful?
Yeah.
I didn't see him walking away if he managed to get through that.
So the idea, what Michael Gove would have a promise saying, if I was ever to get to number 10, I promise I'll be gone in 2 years, just in the same way that John Bercow promised he'd serve no longer than 9 years. I mean, Bercow made that promise in writing. He's still there after 9 years. So do you think that, I mean, one hears this quite a lot, mentioned the 2 year Gove thing, but is it realistic? How many Tories do you think?
As one ally of Michael Gove said to me, there is the my precious problem, which is that it's a little bit like the ring in Lord of the Rings. However much you don't intend to keep it on, you intend to take it off. That, you know, once you're there, you've always got one more thing you want to do. I mean, think of Tony Blair, you know. Again, you know, he kept turning around to Gordon Brown and saying, well, just let me do foundation hospitals, or just let me do this, or just let me do that. There's always one more reason to stay. I think that there is a kind of interesting question here, which is, where is Brexit? If Theresa May goes shortly after March 30th, 2019, I think there will be the question then is, Brexit will very much be unfinished business. And that is a particular challenge for Hunt and Javid as to how they position themselves in terms of what kind of Brexit they want.
Surely as conciliators, people who could put...
No, that is obviously... But then how do you say that you will deliver on it? You know, and I think this is the kind of question, which is, I don't think we will have... If Theresa May goes soon after March 1st, 2019, I don't think we'll actually have very much idea of what the final Brexit deal is going to look like, other than not brilliant.
Right. And Katie, what would Jeremy Hunt have to do to increase his chances between now and then, because sure, he's been the longest serving health secretary, but he doesn't have that much of a public profile. I'm not sure many people could name the reforms that he's done. I mean, Michael Gove has got two or three things. He's got the plastic campaigns, he's got school reform, he's got quite a lot. Even Sajid Javid, the Home Secretary, he's been there for a few weeks, but he's already changed government policy on unskilled migrants. He's torn up the Windrush policy. He'll probably, next on his list, he'll manage to take students out of the immigration total. Whereas Jeremy Hunt, his main attribute is survival. He'd have to do a lot more than that to be seen as a potential leader.
Yeah, and I think we're given an unfortunate reminder this morning of one of the things Jeremy Hunt is famous for, which is his surname. When on the Today programme, they mispronounced it again. I think his problem is he would have to show not so much all his achievements, but just that he has something more to him. Because I've had some people say that would it be really worth a bruising Tory leadership contest of, you know, all this dirty laundry airing just to get someone who, again, is a bit of a unity candidate in the same sense Theresa May was? Are we going to replace bland with bland? And maybe Jeremy Hunt is not that bland, but I think he would need to show to members that.
And Katie, Gavin Williamson, the Defence Secretary, is somebody else who fancies himself for the job. I mean, right now he's being portrayed by Tracy Ullman, who, of course, is defining how a lot of the public see the politicians, as being, you know, Machiavellian, scheming, wanting to plot his way to the top, as Gordon Brown successfully did. So might he be the person hanging back, waiting for everybody else to shoot themselves, as happened when Theresa May became Prime Minister?
I think the problem is you can't really describe him as hanging back right now. So we had the Mail on Sunday splash this weekend, which basically reported that Gavin Williamson had threatened to bring down the Prime Minister unless she gave him £20 billion. Now, there's two problems with this. The first is that she's just given the NHS £20 billion and doesn't yet know how she's going to pay for it. So it seems a big ask to go for another £20 billion elsewhere. And the second is, it's already annoyed a lot of his colleagues' idea that he would make this threat. And I think that since Gavin Williamson has moved from chief whip, where he was seen as very Machiavellian, he had his, you know, his pet spider and so forth, and he was a bit Francis Ucott, he hasn't really managed to make that transition to statesman-like politician too easily. We've had go away and shut up.
And now Russia, yeah.
And often it does seem to be more like throwing the toys out of the pram. So I actually think the sketch is probably more complimentary than what some of his colleagues see him as, with the nickname Private Pike. So I think he has some work to do if he is going to get into that, you know, upper tier of the race. But there was one thing he did say, apparently, in this story, which was that he had made Theresa May and he could also bring her down. It is true that he was instrumental in getting her there because she didn't really have many allies in Parliament. She used to pride herself on not going to Parliament bars. He does have that network, but I think at the moment he himself is making that less likely.
So, Katie, next week's Chequers Summit is supposed to decide what kind of Brexit deal we're going to get. Now, had Amber Rudd been Home Secretary, she'd already agreed, as I understand it, a deal with Greg Clark and Philip Hammond, where they were effectively going to offer the EU free movement in all but name. That can just continue. And Sajid Javid isn't as happy with this. He's taken that off the table. But do you think that we should really wait until the end of this Chequers Summit to see what a Brexit deal will look like before we decide to assess the leadership candidates? Or do you think that this summit next week will be inconclusive, as pretty much every other attempt to get the cabinet to agree on a Brexit strategy has been inconclusive?
I think it probably will be inconclusive. And even if it is conclusive, we might have this scenario I've had a few times where the cabinet somehow managed to agree on something, which is this, and then you do a bit of that, and then you do that. And then you, by the end of it, you're a bit like, well, this is a great potential scenario of all these ifs, but Brussels now has to agree to that. And it's nothing that, you know, is off the shelf. So I think even if they do come to a conclusion, we don't really know where we're getting with it. It will be interesting, as James mentioned earlier, to see how the Remainers in the potential phony leadership war ongoing pitch themselves and what side they pick, because it would be tactical probably to go to the more Brexit option when it comes to thinking of those Conservative Party members. Or it may also just be that they found their inner Brexiteer, and I'm being cynical.
Well, the Chequers Summit will be held in complete privacy with nothing released. Therefore, you can expect to read all about it on Coffee House. If you'd like to come to see Jeremy Hunt being probed on his various political views to see if he will be a Prime Minister, you can come along to the Spectator events. He's in conversation with Andrew Neil on the 28th of June. There are still some tickets on sale. We're also offering a special subscription deal right now. You can get a month's full access to The Spectator for free on spectator.co.uk/summer.
Disease affects all of us, but in the next 5 years, cutting-edge developments funded by the Association of the British Pharmaceutical Industry will change the lives of patients with blood cancers, diabetes, Alzheimer's and more. We are the research-based pharmaceutical industry in the UK. With over 7,000 new medicines in development, we won't rest until everyone affected by disease can look forward to a brighter tomorrow. Visit abpi.org.uk to find out about our work.